say he deserves the best. He deserves the best of our worship. He deserves the best of our praises. He deserves the best of our service. He deserves the best of our gifts. Everything, when you do it for the Lord, you need to have that in mind, that he deserves the best. And if you think about what he has done for us, preserving our lives, and you are still here now because of his grace. He deserves the best. And we are also going to have enough time just to worship and praise him together, because he deserves the best. Amen. Amen. When we come to his throne, when we come to his house, we expect to receive from him, but we also come to minister to him. Amen. The 24 elders never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And indeed we say, "You are worthy. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God that was slain." And as we say, "You deserve the best," I'm even reminded about the building that we want to build for the Lord. Amen. It's got to look the best. Amen. Because we're doing it for a great God. Amen. And I'm excited even with what took place last Sunday, Saturday, and Friday, as we had our annual conference. And thank you for your prayers. Amen. Amen. Thank you for all that you've done. And the Lord indeed has been with us. Amen. I also am thankful for the kind of unity that we have. The kind of unity that we have as a church. And if we are united like this, nothing can stop us. Whatever the Lord has promised is able, well, able to perform. Even in your own families, the importance of unity is very important. You know, in Psalms 133, the Bible talks about, if you dwell together in unity, the Lord commands blessing there. But if you are divided, Jesus says the house divided shall not stand. So it means it's very important for us to be united in whatever we do. Whether you are as a family, whether you are a church, whether you are an organization, we need to be united. So I want to take you to the book of Genesis chapter 11 from verse 1 to 6 in the NLT. Because I'm excited that as we are going to build the house of the Lord, even though it looks like it's a very high and a very difficult thing, I'm very confident that it shall be done. Amen. Amen. When the Lord is on our side, nothing is too hard. Even in your own situations, I want each of you not only to be trusting God for us as we are going to build the house of the Lord, but have something that you can use your faith on. Even something that looks a bit impossible, so that you can say it has to be faith. It has to be God who comes through on this one. You know, people of the world usually are very good at planning. And if you want to be good in projects, you must be a good planner. But the good thing with being a child of God is that above and beyond your planning, there is God. There is a Jesus factor. Amen. Amen. So it means whatever you are trusting God for, whatever you are planning for, plan. But beyond the planning, like Psalms 37 talks about, commit your ways unto the Lord, and he will bring that to pass. So we are also going to commit the building project unto the Lord today as we are going to pray together. Amen. And we just have time together and say, "Lord, we're looking forward." Yeah. And we will do what we need to do. We do the best of what we can. But when we are with God, he magnifies our steps. I'm always encouraged when I think about those four men that were lepers. You remember at the gate, the four lepers? The Bible says those men said, "Why do we sit here until we die? If we go to the city, we'll die there because there is famine. If we go to the enemy's camp, if they kill us, we shall but die, but we can live there." And after, when they were going to the enemy's camp, the Lord said, the Bible says there were four lepers. The Bible says the Lord magnified their steps. So imagine four people walking to the enemy's camp. Actually, I don't think they were walking like, I think, this is me, it's not in the Bible. I think because they were going to the enemy's camp, I think they were even going like this. The Bible doesn't say that it's me. But as they were doing that, the Bible says the Lord magnified their steps in a way that those Syrians thought, the king of Israel has hired other many armies and they are coming against us. We can hear a lot of sounds. We can hear chariots coming against us. That's how the Lord magnifies our steps. So you find that even in your own life as a child of God, you go to that challenge, to that problem with the name of Jesus, and the Lord magnifies your steps. Whereas the enemy could have undermined you and look at you like how David, Goliath looked at David, but there is something behind a David. Can you tell your neighbor there is something behind a David? There's something behind me. There is somebody behind me. Supernatural power of God behind me. Don't underestimate me. Ask Goliath. Amen. Amen. You know that Goliath was very much confident and was undermining David? Because he looked at David from a mere human standpoint. But we do not depend on ourselves. We depend upon the Lord. So as we depend upon the Lord, he magnifies our steps in whatever we do, in whatever project that you want to undertake. Trust in the Jesus factor. In other words, you say, as a human being, I do what I need to do, but I know there is God. I know God is on my side. I know the Lord will lift me up by his right hand of power. But if you are doing things as a family or as a church or as an organization, you need to be united. Let's go to that, Mr. MJ, Genesis 11, 1 to 6, NLT.
At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words.
Okay, so there was a time when all the people of the world spoke the same language. There was a time when all the people of the world spoke the same language. Okay? Mm-hmm.
As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, let's make bricks and harden them with fire. In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. They said, come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world.
Now, if you look at this, what was the purpose of these people building the tower? They were building it, firstly, so that they should not be scattered, they should be in one place, but they also wanted to make a name for themselves. So it was for their own glory. But because they were united, listen to what God says.
But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. Look, he said, the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them.
Amen. Amen. Can we say nothing we set out to do will be impossible for us because we are united? I mean, these people were not doing something that was going to give glory to God. They were doing it for their own fame. But because they were united, the Lord still said, if people are united like this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. So if we are united and we are one, nothing will stop us. And it's going to be done. Because the Lord is on our side and the Lord will help us. So even in your own life, do you know that even husbands and wives, sometimes when you are fighting, you're not agreeing in things and you go to bed still fighting and all that. Do you know that it's very easy for the enemy to come in? It's very easy for the enemy to attack because you are divided among yourselves. Jesus said the house divided among itself will not stand. So it's very important for us to be united even as a church if we want to build the house of the Lord. So today I want us to talk about it's time to build the Lord's house. But as it's time to build the Lord's house, it's also time for you to see God moving in your own circumstances. Some of you last week, you planted a seed, trusting God to move in your situation.
Amen.
Amen. So it means even when I see this opportunity to build the house of the Lord, it's a faith project, but it's also an opportunity for us to see the faithfulness of God in our own situations. Because as I do something for the Lord is doing something for me.
Amen.
Amen. Go to the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 9, NLT, Mr. MJ. Haggai 1, 1 to 9, NLT. Because I want us to look at this, that as we are united, as we want to do things together, as we have to have the same language, we need to make sure that we do not, you know, some among us would be saying, no, it's fine, we can still be churching here in the tent, it's actually good. Why do we have to build, really? All that and all that. But you just told me he deserves the best. Amen. And do you know that most of us really we are blessed? Most of us in this church, we are blessed. If you just even look outside and you look at the cars, it's a sign of saying the Lord is with us. Now, do you think we can fail to build the house for the Lord? No. Amen?
Amen.
We are well able.
Amen.
With the Lord on our side, we are well able. Now, listen to these people in the book of Haggai, because there was a time when the Lord wanted his house to be rebuilt. But people were actually very reluctant. They were more concerned about their own things than about the things of God. So even in our own lives, do we prioritize God first? Huh? Do you prioritize God above everything? Do you give him the best of your praise? Do you give him the best of your time? Or you give him the leftover time? Do you sometimes set time aside and just say, I just want to be with the Lord? Huh? Or do you only say, it has been a hard and a heavy day, a tiring day, now the last 3 minutes, let me give them to God? Huh? Is that the best? Is that the best? No. And look at some of us, like I said, beside all this, you will find that some of us, we've got good houses, isn't it? The Lord blessed us. Now, if as an individual you can have such a big, beautiful house, don't you think the Lord deserves the best? Don't you think the Lord will do it as we stand together? Go with that Haggai chapter 1, 1 to 9 NLT.
On August 29 of the second year of King Darius' reign, the Lord gave a message to the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Yeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. The people are saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord.
Oh, listen to what God was saying. He says through his prophet, people are saying it's not yet time to build the house of the Lord. You know that you can think about of the church of God or the house of the Lord in two ways. We, as the children of God, we are the temple of God, isn't it? We are the church of God, spiritual church of God. But God is as much interested in us as spiritual church of God as in the building.
Yeah.
Some of you say it's not important. The Lord is just interested in me. But look at this. Here he was not talking about people's bodies. Tell your neighbor, here the Lord was not talking about people's bodies.
Yeah.
So when he says rebuilding the house of the Lord, he was talking about a physical building. Continue.
Then the Lord sent this message through prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins?
But that's a fair question, isn't it? Huh? I mean, the Lord says, you are living in luxurious houses, but my house lies in ruins. Continue.
This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but harvest little.
Mm.
You eat, but are not satisfied.
Okay.
You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages, these appear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes.
Just repeat that one. That one sounds familiar. Just repeat that one. That one sounds familiar.
Your wages, these appear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes.
Why? Because you're not interested in my house. You're interested in your own agendas. You are interested in your own things. You know the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things that the Gentiles are searching after will be added unto us. I like it when I prioritize God and I seek God first and his kingdom. And God is waiting behind the scene to make my things work out.
Amen.
Amen. Continue.
This is what the Lord of heaven says. Look at what's happening to you. Now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house.
Okay. It's time to rebuild the Lord's house. He needs the timber. Continue.
Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord.
Mm.
You hoped for rich harvest, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of heaven's
house. It seems this time the Lord was not happy. Huh? You try to gather and I blow it away. You do this and why? Because my house lies in ruins. And he was not talking about spiritual church of the Lord. He was talking about the real building. Continue.
Says the Lord of heaven's armies, while all of you are busy building your own fine houses.
Okay. Is it wrong to build fine houses? Deuteronomy 8, actually, if you go down, verse 12 going down, it says, you need to bless the Lord your God when things are going well with you. When you have built goodly houses and dwell in them, don't forget the Lord your God. In other words, as I'm building my house, as I'm enjoying what the Lord has blessed me with, I do not forget the Lord my God. As the Lord blesses me, I know that in what he has blessed me with, there is a portion that belongs to him. Because he has blessed me. By the way, do you know that there are some people who live as if they don't work when it comes to giving to the Lord? Huh? The other time I was just thinking, it's not the Bible, it's me. I was just thinking that some of you, after you lose a job, you go to the Lord, Lord, I've lost a job. And the Lord gets surprised, which job now? That's me. Again, it's not the Bible. Because when you had a job, I thought that the first portion of what you get from your job, I will be seeing it to see that you are working. Now, I don't see it, but when things are difficult and you go into the hole, still you come back to the Lord. So why can't we as well just have good trust in God? And we just do things with him. Because here when he says, my house lies in ruins while you are busy building your own fine houses, I'm saying that it's not that the Lord doesn't want us to have good things. He has already said he wants to bless us. He wants us to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. He already wants to lift us up. But he says, when you have built good houses and dwell in them, don't forget the Lord your God. For it is he, actually let's go there, Deuteronomy. We can just detour to it. It's not part of the menu, but we can go commercial with it. Deuteronomy 8. Yeah, this is good. You see, the good thing with the word of God is that if you have found a verse, it stays there all the time. So I knew it was in Deuteronomy 8, and it's still there. Deuteronomy 8, can we read from verse 11? 12, 13, and then 18. Can you do that, Mr. MJ? Deuteronomy 8, 11, 12, 13, and then 18.
Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today.
So he says we must beware not to forget the Lord our God. It means it's possible to forget the Lord your God, especially when things are going well with you. You know, traditional churches, most of these mainline churches, they used to have this doctrine that we don't want to have many things, we don't want to have things because otherwise we can forget God. They were partly right. They were not 100% right. They were partly right because there are people who, when things go well with them, they forget God. The Israelites used to be like that. When things are well with them, they would forget God. And when they are taken into captivity in Babylon, now all of a sudden they start seeking the face of God, and now they are prayer warriors. You know, like some of you, when things are going well, you relax, you forget about God. But when you have problem, you even pray all the night long. You fast for the whole week. Do you think you have to behave like that? So that when you start doing things, we know, oh, there's a problem. No wonder this week, this time, she doesn't miss church. She actually attends all services. She's praying a lot. We know there's a problem. Is that the right way, guys? Shouldn't we be excited about God all the time? And we don't let troubles be the ones that make us to remember God. So he says, don't forget the Lord your God. When do we usually forget the Lord our God? Continue.
Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built a beautiful houses and dwell in them.
Okay, when you have eaten and you are full and you have built beautiful houses and dwell in them. The Lord doesn't have a problem with that. He just wants to know, what do you do when things are well with you like that? Do you forget the Lord your God and you think that you are making this by your own strength? Or do you know that I acknowledge the Lord in all my ways? The other time, we're still in Century City and we're with my wife. I was just looking at the house that we were staying in and I thought it looked beautiful. And I said, Mommy, I thank God for this. But if the Lord could bless us like this, what can we do for the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
That should be your attitude. If the Lord has blessed me like this, what can I do for him? You know the song, what shall I render to Jehovah? For he has done so much for me. What shall I render to Jehovah? For he has done so very much for me. Some of you who don't render anything to the Lord, it's because you don't know what God has done for you. You remember when Jesus was in the house of one of the Pharisees and there was that woman who was forgiven much by the Lord. And she was doing everything to appreciate Jesus. She even, her tears was like she was using and even her hair to wipe out the feet of Jesus. And she anointed his feet with oil because she was saying, the Lord has been so good to me. Yeah. I will do the best that I can for him.
Yeah.
So some of you, the Lord has done a lot for you, but you've forgotten. So here, continue. It says, you must not forget the Lord your God when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses. 13.
And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied.
Okay, so even when your herds and your flocks are multiplied, your silver and your gold. What is silver and gold in the modern terms?
Money.
Yes, the Lord doesn't have a problem with a good bank account. Tell your neighbor, the Lord doesn't have a problem with a good-looking bank account. And he wants it to look good. Especially if that bank account will also be serving the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It means God is as equally interested on that bank account because he knows whatever comes from this bank account, it's also promoting my kingdom. So I've got something at stake here. Amen.
Amen.
Now the problem is verse 18. It's we forget the Lord your our God. Do 17 and 18.
Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth.
You know that some people would say, I worked very hard. I studied hard. I worked hard. That's why I am where I am today. They think it's the might of their own hands. But is it really that you studied hard? Is it really that you worked hard? Are there no people who have studied very hard, who've lost their minds and today they're walking in the streets? So if studying very hard was the answer, then it should have worked for those. Amen? So we need God in everything. Even as you are going to study hard and work hard, depend on the Lord. Because the Bible says it's in Ecclesiastes. It says the race is not won by the fastest horse. And it says the wise are not always the ones who succeed. You know that it's not always the most educated that succeed in life. Yeah. And it says it is determined by chance, being at a right place at the right time. And I said, no, preacher, you did not know grace. So because Ecclesiastes, he puts it as being at the right place at the right time. But we know it's by grace. It's because of the Lord's unmerited favor. And I am what I am today because of his grace. I have what I have today because of his grace. Then I cannot forget him. Verse 18.
And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth.
Oh, power to get what?
Wealth.
Just spell it.
W-E-A-L-T-H.
Is that wealth. Spiritual wealth? Some of you spiritualize things too much. As if when you go to pick and pay, you use spiritual money. It is God who gives you power to get
wealth.
Can we say it's God who gives me power to get wealth? Can we say I'm trusting God for wealth? I want to serve God with my wealth. I want to be able to finance even the kingdom of God. Amen. Yeah. All the wealth, the Bible says, silver and gold belongs to me, thus says the Lord. But all the wealth in this universe, do you think God has reserved it just for the unjust? The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, for the righteous, because they know what to do with that wealth. So, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So it is God who gives me power to get wealth. Tell your neighbor, okay, there was this thing. I saw this cartoon. Yeah, it was a cartoon. Some people usually do cartoons to portray a message. So there was this cartoon of a chimpanzee. Okay, monkey, it was seated like this. In a seat, in a chair. And there was a message underneath. I've been rich, I've been poor, rich is better. And I thought, that monkey knows. Amen? Some of you magnify so poverty so much as if it's the best thing that could ever happen to you. I know rich is better. Amen. As long as you do not forget the Lord your God. Rich is better because even when there is something that needs to be done in the house of the Lord, I'm able to also be a blessing. I'm able also to do something. Amen. Because some of you, when we talk these things, you always think, Pastor, no, let's just talk prayer. Prayer has its own place and we will pray. That's why we are going to also pray today. But there is also a place for wealth. There is also a place for us to do things. When we want to build the house of the Lord, I told you, it's not going to be by missionaries. The missionaries did well. They built some of those old mainline churches. The missionaries just came and built, and people just used the churches. But now, we have a privilege to also be like missionaries of our own and build the church ourselves. That in generations to come, they will be thinking, oh, this is beautiful. We wonder the people who built this. And then we will be like missionaries to them. Amen. Who will leave a legacy for them, something that they can look at and enjoy it. So go with me to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah 4, 6 to 10 ERV. Now, I told you that as much as we can plan, even in your own life, as much as you can study hard, as much as you can work hard, you always have to depend on the Lord. Amen? Psalms talks about some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We do not trust in our own strength. It's not saying that we should not study, we should not work hard, we should not do all those things. We do them. But as we do those, that's not our anchor. We trust in God. We are able to give God the glory and say, Lord, indeed it's not by power nor by might, it's by your spirit. If it were up to me, I would not have succeeded. Read. Zechariah 4, 6 to 10.
He said, this is the message from the Lord to Zerubbabel.
I like it when the Lord gives messages. I also want the message to me as we are going to build. What did he say to Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel was going to build.
Your help will not come from your own strength and power.
Your help will not come from?
Your own strength.
Does that apply to anything you do? Huh? Especially when you are a child of God. You know, people of the world, they have to depend on their own strength because there is no other power. But for us, it says, my help will not come from my own strength and my power.
Mm-hmm. No. Your help will come from my spirit.
I like it. Can we say, I like it?
I like it.
Yeah. Our help will not come from our own strength, from our own power, from our own horses and chariots. But our help will come from the Lord. So that even after he has done it for us, we are able to say, thank you, Lord. It is the Lord who has done it. Have you ever had a situation where a problem, particular problem? Okay, let me talk about two kinds of problems. There are those problems where there is an option, a worldly option. Let's say you're trusting God for something, but if it doesn't work, you can say, I can do this as option two. There's a worldly alternative to try and solve your problem. But do you know that there are other problems where there is no worldly alternative? Sometimes there are problems where you cannot have option two. Usually when we have option two and we start thinking, if it doesn't work, I'll just do this. If it doesn't work, I'll just get a loan. If it doesn't work, I'll just do this. Yes, for some problems you can do that. But there are problems where there is no option two. It's got to be God. And I actually like those ones more. Because then you don't have another alternative. You've got to trust God. And as you trust God and see him coming through for you, that should give you courage to say, even for those problems that it looks like there's option B, I still won't go option B because I know God is faithful. Amen. He has done it with this problem. He will do it even with the other ones. So read that, Zechariah. Continue.
This is what the Lord All-Powerful says.
So I like it when it says, this is what the Lord All-Powerful. It's reminding him that the Lord who's speaking to you is all-powerful. The Lord has all the power. And what is he saying?
That tall mountain will be like a flat place for Zerubbabel.
So even in your own lives, do you know that beside Zerubbabel here who was facing a mountain to climb, We all face mountains. You have your own mountain. So I like to hear God saying, even that tall mountain will be like a flat place before me. Amen. So think about whatever mountain that the enemy was putting ahead of you to discourage you. And remember the scripture that says, mountains melt like wax in the presence of God. Think about the Israelites when they were faced with the walls of Jericho. As they started praising and worshiping God, what happened to the walls of Jericho? The walls of Jericho came down. So even in your own life, what are walls that are standing in your way? May the name of the Lord be your strong tower. May the Lord melt all those mountains like wax. So that the mountain will become flat like a plain. Continue.
He will build the temple.
Yeah.
And when the most important stone is put in place, the people and Jesus the Savior will shout, beautiful, beautiful.
Can we shout?
Beautiful.
Can we shout? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Amen.
Amen.
I wonder, we start saying it now and we'll say it even when we see it, it's finished.
Amen.
Yeah. You need to start seeing it in faith and see even those pictures that we show you, even those, the plants and everything, and you start saying, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Even when it's built, beautiful, beautiful. We said he deserves the best. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Yes, we're shouting that. That's our common language. Can we have that common language? People had the same language in the beginning, and the Lord said nothing will be impossible for them because they are united and have got a common language. So even with us, we say beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. As we look at the magnificent house of the Lord that he's building, as he's building that, we know also in our own lives, the spiritual church has also to be beautiful, without spot or wrinkle. The Bible says Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. Without spot or wrinkle. There he's talking about the church as the spiritual church as the body of Christ. But the same way that he's interested in the spiritual church, which is the body of Christ without spot or wrinkle, he also says beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And may it be that when people pass through Bob's way, they look and say beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We wish we could be associated with these people. Continue reading.
The Lord's message to me also said, Zerubbabel will lay the foundations of my temple, and he will finish building it. Then you will know that the Lord All-Powerful sent me to you people.
I like faith. Can we all say I like faith? Because faith sees things before they become. Amen. You see, in faith, you already see it and have it before you can have it.
Yeah.
You are able to rejoice even in whatever challenge that you have. Do you know that some of you get your breakthrough in prayer? You pray through the problem, and then you have that breakthrough in your heart, and you start having peace. Even before the situation changes, your countenance has already changed.
Yeah.
You remember Hannah, when she was looking for a child, Samuel? And then she was crying, she was bitter in her heart. But when the man of God said, let it be as you are trusting God, may the God of Israel grant you your request. The Bible says her countenance changed. And she was now a happy woman. Why? Because now she was living in her future.
Amen.
Can you tell your neighbor, live in your future?
Amen.
Amen. And speak like your future is here. Amen. Speak like your future is here. Speak like you are living with your future. Like your future is here. Okay, let's read this. Let's read Psalms 45 verse 1 NIV. Because I like this. And I want you to do this even for your own life. As we do it for the house of the Lord, we are going to keep on declaring together. We are going to build the house of the Lord and it will be beautiful. But even in your own individual circumstances, can you also be a master of your own destiny?
Yeah.
You cannot change your past, but you can craft your destiny. Amen. Amen. You cannot change whatever, wherever you were born and whatever people have done to you, that's past. But going forward, you can craft your own destiny. Amen. With the Lord. And this is how we do it. I like Psalms 45 verse 1 because in the NIV, I like it and I want to do this all the time and I want to teach you, my congregants, do the same. You will see what God will do. Because God wants to do everything for us, but he wants us to have faith in him. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when you use your faith and also speak what you believe. Some of you, by the way, you don't want to speak what you believe just in case it doesn't happen. What will people think? Huh? Why don't you think, what will God think when I'm not speaking it? Because God says we believe and therefore we speak. Our faith speaks. Even whatever you are trusting God for, speak it. And people will tell you, oh, you're trying to play positive psychology. You're trying to play psychology. Tell them it's not psychology. Psychology might have copied it. It's not psychology, it's the word. We speak things into being. Even God in the beginning when it was dark, what did God say when the whole earth was filled with darkness? He said, let there be light. When last did you speak light into your situation? When last did you declare things in your area of responsibility? Even in your own homes. Some of you are keeping on saying, no, the devil is destroying my family. The devil is crippling all my family and everything in my family. Now you are praising the devil. Yeah. You were supposed to say, get out of my family in the name of Jesus. Yeah. I declare the peace of God in my family. Yeah. I declare the love of God in my family. Yeah. I declare the light of God in my family. Let there be light. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You do like your God. So look at this, Psalm 45 verse 1 NIV. It says, my heart is stirred by a noble theme. So when something is noble, it stirs my heart. So my heart is stirred. My heart is encouraged. It's stirred by a noble theme. As I recite my verses for the king, my tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. So it means if my heart is stirred with a noble theme, that's why I say, even when I look at that building that we're going to build, my heart is stayed. Amen. When I look at the things that I'm trusting God for, my heart is stayed. Amen. That's a noble theme. And I want to recite my verses to the king. I want to speak to my king about what is in my heart. My tongue is a pen of a what? A skillful writer. The other time I told you, no offense to Sunday school, I said, don't write like a Sunday school child. You know Sunday school children? Sorry, Sunday school. You know how they write things and you give them a page, you give a five-year-old page to write. That's not skillful. Do you know that some of you do like that with your tongues? Just writing things, it's confusion. Everything just that, everything. So there is no skill. So if your tongue is like a pen of a skillful writer, it means you have now to write like a skillful person. Paul says. Paul says when I fight like a skilled boxer. I don't just throw my punches in the air. Amen? Can you also be skillful? Can you be skillful even to declare your future? Huh? Imagine you are a youth, you say, hey, I'm getting old and I don't think I'll ever get married. Is that skillful? Mm-mm. That tongue is not like a skillful writer. When you like a skillful writer, you know what the Lord has said. And you go before him and recite the verses before the king in line with what is stirred up in your heart. Yeah. and say, Lord, I thank you that you make a way where there seems to be no way. I thank you that nothing is too hard for you. I thank you that you hold me up by your right hand of power. I thank you that you are the Lord, my healer. I thank you that you are the Lord, my provider. I thank you that you are the Lord, my defense. You are everything I need. Now you are like a skillful writer. Amen. My tongue is stayed by a noble theme as I speak like a skillful writer. So we have a part to play. In your own life of faith, you need to do something. As you believe God, God will do the rest. You trust God. As you trust God and believe with your heart, speak it also. Okay. You remember the story when Jesus, he was going to the house of the ruler of the synagogue when the woman with the issue of blood touched his garment and he stopped. And as he was busy with the woman with the issue of blood, people came from the house of the ruler of the synagogue. They said, why trouble the master anymore? Your little daughter is dead. The Bible says, Jesus overhearing them, he said, do not be afraid, only believe. So he was saying, the only thing I need from you is your faith. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, Jesus just needs your faith. He will do the rest. Imagine if God's part was the faith part and your part was doing it to make it happen. So God made it simple. He said, your part is to believe. Amen. Leave the rest on me. I will do it. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So he made it simple for me. My part is only to believe. That's what Jesus told that man. He said, do not be afraid. Only believe. And indeed, that man, as he just believed, they went to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. And who rose that servant from that child from the dead? Was it the ruler of the synagogue? No. Jesus. So if Jesus says, leave it on me, can you tell your neighbor, leave it on Jesus? He knows best. And can you tell your neighbor, God has been doing things before you were born. He doesn't need your help. Amen. Because sometimes we help him as if he would fail if I don't do this. But that's not faith. You need to have a childlike faith. I told you about the other time I said, I like the 5 to 8 year old children. That age, 5 to 8 years, they are very good to me. They trust, they believe, and they think they know. But another thing that I see about them is that they trust their parents too much. If you can trouble him or her, she will tell you, I'm going to tell my daddy and my daddy will beat you. According to her, daddy can beat anybody who troubles me. Isn't it? Yeah, that child doesn't know that you can be beaten. That child knows, I will tell my daddy and my daddy will sort you out. That's what all that child knows. Again, you take that child. We used to see this with our children when we would go to the mall, 5 to 8 years old. You go to Toys R Us. Mommy, can you buy this for me? 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 And why did mommy say, no, man, it's not Christmas time. You actually, and Christmas, choose one for the Christmas. That child is surprised. Because the child thought, mommy can buy the whole shop. You know that your child thinks you can buy everything. You just disappoint the children when they're asking, mommy, can you buy this? Mommy, can you buy this? They don't even know anything about budget. They trust. But what about you who has an unlimited God? Amen. Don't you think we were supposed to be like that? Yeah. Daddy, what about this? Daddy, what about this? Yeah. And see Daddy shining. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. See Daddy demonstrating his power on your behalf. Amen. Because he is God. He is the self-existent one. He needs no help. Amen? Yeah. I'll just give you two examples of why I'm saying God needs no help. You remember the story when God had promised Abraham and Sarah that they will have children. Huh? And when the years were going and things seems to be not going the way that God has said, you remember what Sarah and Abraham did? Trying to help God. Okay, Abraham, my husband, I think you can go to Hagar. We can get a child through Hagar. But did God say that? And do you think after Ishmael was born, God was very excited to say, Ish, you solved my problem. I was stuck. Mm-mm. He said, I'm telling you, your descendants will be many through your wife, Sarai. I know how to keep my promises. And he did keep his promise. So if he kept his promise, can we say, promise keeper, miracle worker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. So whatever he has said, he's well able to perform. Now, the issue with trying to help God. So you know the problem of the Middle East started then. That's the problem we have today. Okay? It starts like that. It starts where when there is something that God told you to do, you want to do an alternative. But when that alternative is born now, now it's a scar in your life. You know that even with us as people, you know what God wants you to do, but you try to do something, and that thing will become your Ishmael. It will keep on bothering you. Even when now you have your Isaac, your promise from God, that thing will be still there, and it will trouble you. So rather, just wait upon God and let do it God's way. Do it God's way, even if it sounds to be taking time. God is never late. Amen. The second example of helping, not saying you shouldn't help God. You remember Jerubal, the father of Gideon. The father of Jerubal, yeah, this other name was Jerubal. Gideon. Gideon, the one who fought with the Amalekites. Yeah. So there was a time when the people there, they wanted, because they worshipped Baal. So they heard that Gideon is talking bad about our God, our Baal. And then they were saying, they went to Gideon's father and said, we want to punish your son because he's undermining our God. He's undermining Baal. What did the father say? Because that's what I want. I want to read even with my God. He said, if Baal is God, why do you fight for him? Baal must fight for himself. So if my God is God, why should I fight for him? He was there before I was there. Who was fighting for him? You remember those are the questions he asked Job. You remember when he said to Job, when I created the heavens and the earth, where were you? Now all of a sudden you think you can advise me. Huh? Is that not the problem with human beings? The other time I told you this, again, it's not in scriptures, but it's my thoughts. I said, I think the reason why man was created on the last day, it was day 6, before God rested, is my mind. I thought if he was created in day 1, before God created the light and all that, he would have thought, hey, Lord, how are we going to charge the sun? We need a sustainable source of energy, God. Now God did everything with no man. And when he had finished, then he brought you into the picture. So if you can think of it that way, even with the things that you are looking for, God has already set the table for you in the presence of your enemies. He prepares a table for you. And then you can come into the scene. So in other words, let God be God. Let him do things on my behalf and I can come into the scene. Because I'm not going to advise God. He is God. He's the self-existent one. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, 18 and 19. I need to pick up speed a bit now. But it's fine because you need to understand this part. Matthew 16, 18 and 19, NLT says, now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Did you see that? So he says, I'm building my church. Yeah, Jesus was talking about the spiritual body of Christ as the church. But he says, as I'm building my church, the gates of hell cannot overpower it. I believe even as we build the church of the Lord as a building, the gates of hell cannot overpower it. If you go to the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, we won't read it. When they were rebuilding the wall, there were people who were opposing them. Sanballat and Tobiah and them. And they were trying to discourage them. But the Lord was with them. The Lord gave them victory. Why? How did they succeed? Maybe let's only read verse 6 of Nehemiah 4. It's 1 to 9 Amplified Classic, but I want to read verse 6. How did they succeed? It says, so we built the wall, and all of it was joined together to half its height. Why? Why? How did it happen? For the people had a heart and mind to work. Amen. Do you have a heart to work?
Amen.
Do you have a mind to work?
Amen.
Do you have a heart to build the house of the Lord?
Amen.
It seems only Ms. Mudawi is convinced. I say, do you have a mind to work?
Amen.
Do you have a heart to build the house of the Lord?
Amen.
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 And we are well able. And may the Lord use us as we are going to build his house. May he stir our hearts. As he stirs us with a noble theme, we also want to be stirred up even in giving to the house of the Lord. And thanks to all of you who are faithful in your tithes, your offerings, your building fund contribution. But even as we go for this final lap, it's like when people are in a marathon, they usually run like this. But when they are about to reach the finishing line, they use every energy that they have. Every energy that they have and sprint. Now it's about time to sprint. It's about time to sprint as we head to building the house of the Lord. Ezra 1, 1-6 NLT says, Ezra 1, 1-6 NLT. In the first year of King Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord fulfilled the prophecy he had given through Jeremiah. He stirred the heart of Cyrus. You know, the Bible says the people had a mind and a heart to work. So it starts with the Lord stirring your heart with that noble theme. You start being excited about what God is doing. You start being excited about what God is going to do. He stirred the heart of Cyrus to put this proclamation in writing and to send it throughout his kingdom. This is what King Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed me to build him a temple. What a privilege. Can you say the Lord has appointed us to build him a temple? Yeah. We are privileged. Amen. Even if some of you may see it as a burden, as a load, we see it as a privilege. We see it as a privilege. And actually the good thing is that when we build this house, it's not like the Lord wants to. We will still be the ones who use it, isn't it? Yeah, that's actually what happened when Solomon was building the house of the Lord. He said, yeah, I think I need to go there. Where is that? Yeah. It's 2 Chronicles 2, 4 to 9, good news. So, I want you to look at this because as we are going to build the house of the Lord, it's not like the Lord wants to use that house. We will still be the beneficiaries of that house, isn't it? Even though we are building it for him. So that even when it's hot, like today, you don't have to lift the things, you just press the aircon. Huh? Yeah, we've got to worship the Lord comfortably. Amen? And let's trust the Lord together. So as we are going to build the Lord's house, listen to what Solomon says, 2 Chronicles 2, 4 to 9. He says, I am building a temple to honor the Lord my God. It will be a holy place where my people and I will worship him. We are building the temple of the Lord, but it will be a holy place where we will worship him. I and my people, we will worship him there. Okay? Now, verse 5. I intend to build a great temple because our God is greater than other gods. So it aligns with the song you were singing earlier about he deserves the best. So we intend to build him a beautiful house. We intend to build him a great house because he's a great God. Verse 6. Yet no one can really build a temple for God. You see now the thing I was telling you. Yet no one can really build a temple for God because even all the vastness of heaven cannot contain him. So in real essence, Solomon was saying, in real sense, actually, God cannot be contained in the house that we say we're building him. How then can I build a temple that would be anything more than a place to burn incense to God? So in other words, what we are building is just a place where we can worship God in. Amen? And verse 9. In preparing large quantities of timber, because this temple I intend to build will be the temple I intend to build will be large and magnificent. Mr. MJ, magnificent. That's English word. I like that. I like doing something for the Lord and you say it's magnificent. It's beautiful. Even your heart, when you look at it, you say, this is good for the Lord. Amen? I feel proud about this. And I'm excited at this that God is going to do, because as he builds, he uses us. And he has chosen us to build. And when you take this as a faith project, even in your own life, you can keep on trusting God for what you're doing. See also the opportunity of planting into the kingdom. See giving toward the building fund, giving your tithes, your offerings, and everything that you do for the work of the Lord. See it as planting a seed for what you are trusting God for. So that as the Lord is lifting you up, you know that I'm faithful to him. I'm also doing things in his kingdom. So can we read 1 Chronicles 28, 9, and 10? We are descending now. We want to land. That's why you can see I want just to pick two or three scriptures and then we land. We're going to pray together. 1 Chronicles 28, 9 and 10, good news. And he said to Solomon, he said, my son, it was David now here, I charge you to acknowledge your father's God and to serve him with an undivided heart and a willing mind. You remember in Nehemiah it says people had a mind and a heart to work. So the things that we are going to do needs your heart, needs your undivided heart and your willing mind. You see, when people's minds are not willing, when people's hearts are divided, they will be complaining about giving to the Lord. But when your heart is undivided, when your mind is willing, it's a pleasure to give to the house of the Lord. And the good thing is that I know when I do this, when I give, the Lord is able to multiply the seed sown. Amen. He's able to multiply my seed. He's able to enlarge my territory. So it means, I think let me read this one and we're going to give with this one before we pray. It's 2 Chronicles 9, 6 to 11, NLT. Because I want to equate this, I want to take all this. Like I'm saying, if you are going to give in faith, it will be a pleasure. Because God loves a cheerful giver. But if you are going with a divided mind, with a divided heart, an unwilling mind, it will be very hard for you to give. It starts with your heart. So as we are going to have time to pray, I want you to pray and say, Lord, work in my heart. Make my heart attentive to you, sensitive to your will. Amen? And let me know what I can give in your kingdom. Touch my heart. Amen? And trust him for a seed. Trust him for a good seed that you say, I also want to be part of building your house. As the pastor says, we need to sprint now. Help me also to sprint in my giving, because we're going to build the house of the Lord. So listen to this. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 11 NLT. It says, remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. Isn't it? Huh? Yeah, I mean, a farmer, if you just plant a few seeds, do you expect a big crop? You get a harvest that's equivalent to what you were giving. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Can we be generous givers? Can we, as you are thinking about the Lord's kingdom and you want to plant in his kingdom, as he touches your heart, you know, people of the early church in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, they would be touched in their hearts that they would even sell their lands and their houses and just bring the money to serve God with. Barnabas did that, and then Ananias and Sapphira wanted to copy it. It was not wrong to sell and give to the house of the Lord, but it was only wrong when they were saying, this is all the money. But at least it started from, we want to just be a blessing to the house of God. So the Lord has blessed us with jobs. The Lord has blessed us with healthy bodies. And is it a difficult thing for us to give to him? So that's why it says, now verse 7. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. You see, now giving is an act of worship. Again, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. If you want to give with your head, you will struggle. Because your head will keep on telling you, but it doesn't add up. If you give, how are you going to pay that? How are you going to do that? But when you do it from a willing heart, an undivided heart, you do it because you are trusting God. You do it out of a heart of faith, not with reasoning. So it says, each of you might decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. So we'll never force you to give. But does that mean you shouldn't give? We need to all give. I'm actually encouraged, even Sunday school. Sunday school, I know what you were doing the time when we were saying we are building the house of the Lord. Now we're quite a little bit. Now the pastor says it's time now. So Sunday school used to be very encouraging. Beside them encouraging me with that song, building up the temple, building up the temple of the Lord. And they would say, mothers, why don't you join us? We are building the temple of the Lord. Fathers, don't you join? So they were saying, we're actually building, but fathers, can you join us? Mothers, can you join us? Then they were doing it practically. They would, Miss Norki is a witness, they would give something always in the offering basket after they have raised the fund the way they are doing it. Because you see, for Sunday school, they can raise funds because they don't work. But you who work, you don't raise funds. You have the money. Why do you want to raise funds? You just give the money. Don't confuse yourself. Sunday school can raise funds because they don't work. And then they bring. But for us, we serve the Lord with our blessing. And have you ever known the joy of giving? The other time, again, I'll give our own example. When we give our tithe and I look at it, it looks massive. It looks good. Then I say to my wife, does it mean we got 10 times more than this? So if you are not a tither, you won't enjoy such a privilege of just reflecting on the benefits that the Lord has blessed you with. Because as you bring the tithe, you start saying, oh Lord, it means really I'm blessed. It means really the Lord has lifted me up. Because my tithe looked like somebody's salary. Isn't it? Sometimes you have that sense. Then that's the only joy you can get if you are a tither. So that's why now here it says, don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Verse 11, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be always generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So God is able to make all grace abound toward us. So worshiped him. So we're going to give. We are going to worship the Lord with our substance. And after that, I'm going to give us time to worship the Lord even with our mouth. You see, so the Bible says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So I will do my own rendition, the Mukosi rendition. You must serve the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, and with your strength. So strength represents what you work for. Strength represents what you do with your strength. You can do it as you come, clean the churches, you do this. But also when I bring my tithe, my offerings, I'm actually worshiping the Lord with my strength. Because that is the indication of my strength. When I'm bringing this, you know, when it's time to give, that should be a best moment for you. To say, now I just want to serve the Lord with my strength. I've been worshiping him with my heart. I've been worshiping him and loving him with all my soul. But I want to take this opportunity to love him with my strength. Amen. Can we take an opportunity and love the Lord with our strength as we get a song?